Hi, everyone. Welcome to Childcare Inspirations, inspiring early childhood educators and providers through laughter, learning, and connection. Hey everyone, welcome to Childcare Inspirations. I'm Tina Gears, owner of Inspired Minds ECC, and Robin is joining us today for a little chat about the language use in childcare. How's it going, Robin? I know we've been chatting for like the last, what, hour?
Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all good. It's a nice day today, so we get a little bit of summer for a day at least.
Yay! It's so funny as we get together here and we just start chatting just automatically. We're like, oh, I guess we should do the podcast recording now. We should probably record the whole conversation beforehand and say,
oh, no.
Outtakes.
No.
So we thought this would be kind of a cool topic and how language use has changed in our field. And we're going to relate this not only to Alberta, but in general in our sector of the language use, because I know we've both been in this field for quite a while now, Robin, right? And yeah, it's definitely changed in the terminology that we use and the professionalism of our sector. And so my biggest thing is, and I still struggle with, and this is something as really small as it is, makes a big impact, is going from kids to children. And I still struggle with that because I've always used kids. 40 some years, I've always used the word kids. But children does sound more professional.
It's not just that. When I took my level two, way back when I took the level two, the first class, they showed a picture of a goat and a picture of a child.
You got the goat and analogy.
They said, this is a kid, and pointed to the goat. And this is a child. This is children, pointed to children, right? We need to respect the fact that we're talking about human children. And if we see them as citizens and we see them as rightful beings in our world, then we need to refer to them as children. And at first I was like, I don't know, it seems a little extreme because I was always using kids. But yeah, then after the 2 years of doing the diploma and always being sort of coerced into using the word children and being hurt, listening to the word children, and I find I use it more often than not. Yeah. Even at the daycare, we have Brightwheel, the app that we enter stuff in, and instead of putting kids in there, I'm always typing children. Like it does come more naturally.
I know. I always mistype. I'm typing children. It's like C-H-I-L. I do D-L-R. I'm like, why does it always do that? But yeah, you're right. I've never seen in any kind of context, like written context. I don't even think I've done that. I've never used kids in written context, but I've used it in conversation. But yeah, even now, like I will start switching over to children. And I'd really like to know, where did we start, like in our history, where did we start using that term kids for children?
I never looked that up. I don't know when we started using kids, but I know we've looked at videos of like playgrounds in the 1900s and stuff, and they use the word kid in there too. A lot of times they use children, but the odd time, the odd video I watch, I like the historical videos, and the odd one I watch, they'll say kids in there. But it could be also somebody more modern voicing over or adding to it too. I don't quite know, you know, so I don't know what the changeover is that for that. But definitely way back, it was always children.
Yeah,
but it was also mother and father, and it wasn't mom and dad. It was also mother was always mother, and father was always father, right? Grandmother was grandmother. It wasn't granny, you know, like we have slanged everything, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know when kids came in, but it definitely didn't start that way. Not Victorian kind of hand-me-down, right?
I'm actually looking right now. I'm like, okay, is there like something we can see here? The formal use in 1840s, the informal use in 1840s. Oh.
1840s?
Apparently. See, this is what we learn on podcasts. we learn the etymology of, is it, yeah, entomology? What is it? How do you say it?
Entomology.
Yeah, the etymology of words. But yeah, that's one. And you're right, though, like simply saying children.
Yeah.
that's something that we can easily incorporate into our day-to-day language.
Well, it's like how some people say, you know, you shouldn't call children friends. You shouldn't use the word friends. And that's a whole other conversation. But you know, a lot of times, instead of friends, you say children. And sometimes children, to some people, sounds kind of snotty. Like, children, yeah. Like, we're doing this now. Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes it sounds like it's a negative thing to say. So I think it's all in kind of how you use it. I know we were talking about that article from Early Childhood Australia, and it was how to talk about early childhood education and care. And mm-hmm. they say, you know, words may not seem important, but many words used to talk about ECC have a long history of being used to diminish the importance of what educators do. When people talk about childcare or looking after little kids, they reinforce outdated views that undervalue our practice. We need to work together to change these views.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's a common theme. That's from Australia, and we're up in Canada, and we're having the same conversation, right? So maybe it's something that that is more important than maybe I had initially thought it was.
Yeah, I think this is definitely a change that we're seeing, or progress we're seeing across the industry.
Yeah.
It's not localized. It's not something that's just in our community. This is something as a sector we're changing and we're advancing and moving forward.
It's not an uncommon thing. I work for a college, which is corporate, right? We get all sorts of documents telling us what language we can use.
Yep.
This is the word we use for this. This is the phrasing we use for this. This is the reply we do for this, right? Like, as yep. their own culture in the corporation, they determine the value and the integrity of what they're saying based on the language. So this really isn't all that different. We just don't have a central body saying, okay, this is what you say, people, right? So we are more casual with that, but it still is the same idea of you're trying to present a professional image and you're trying to present value to what you do in how you describe what you do every day.
Yep. Just like the term, I've never heard this term. So that article that we're referring to, it's about childcare worker. I don't think I've ever used childcare worker.
Oh, but in Indeed and all the job boards, they yeah. used it all the time, put worker. And that was the
childcare worker like that.
But the Alberta, the names were that, right? They were worker, they were assistant, worker, and worker. Supervisor, right? Yeah, they used to be that. They're not anymore.
What is that? What is childcare worker?
A lot of them still hang on to that language.
Yeah.
So they put childcare worker, daycare worker. And I went to the bank to fill out a form the other day, and they're like, you know, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm an early childhood educator. So he wrote daycare, right? Yeah. Like, is it fit in the form, right? So like, they don't want to use early childhood educator because it's so big and so clunky. And
I'd say, be like, no, change that. Know. That's not what I said.
I told him to put educator. I told him if it didn't fit in his form, I told him, I said, put educator instead, because I'll accept that, right? Kind of a thing. Yeah. But the first thing he wrote, and he's just some dude at the bank, right? The first thing he wrote was daycare. Right. So yeah. that's the perception that the general public has.
It's still right? a daycare that, worker.
It's like, it's not that daycare is a bad word either, but
no, and that's the thing.
We do more, there's more jobs in our industry than just daycare. Right. So there's more things that we do, and we want to bring some respect and ideas to what we do and share that with other people. So the title does kind of matter.
I think so. I don't really like that worker word. Like no. that doesn't describe what I do or who I am as a professional. I'm a worker. Like what? That confuses me. That word alone does not define who I am and all the different roles we play.
It kind of, I actually don't want to say this because it sounds negative, but worker to me sometimes implies not as qualified.
Yeah.
Right? You're the worker. You're the worker, the grocery store worker or whatever. And not that they're not qualified. I don't want to say that. But like, it implies not the level of education that's required of an early childhood educator, right? Yeah. You have a 2-year diploma. You have a 4-year degree. You have a master's degree and you're still called a daycare worker, yeah. right? It doesn't follow suit with all of these titles that we acquire as being important.
So what do you call yourself, Robin?
Early childhood educator.
Yeah, that's what I
do. And if I have to shorten it, I do just say educator. You know, if it's some situation where it's not, or really because I work with preschool kids, and I was talking to my old room partner about this, I just say I'm a preschool teacher. And when I say preschool teacher, people go, oh, okay. Cause they understand that, right. They understand, oh, you're a preschool teacher. That makes sense, right? And those are the words that I've always used, right? But definitely, it's something that is really common to be confused. People, I don't think they know what we do, so they don't know what to call us.
Yeah, and it starts with us using that language. And when people are like, what is that? Explaining that and letting them know the value of what we do. I mean, if you go to a doctor and you talk to a doctor and you don't call and they're a surgeon, they will say, actually, I'm a surgeon.
My dad is a doctor. He's a veterinarian.
Yeah.
So he was always Dr. Landles.
Yeah.
And everywhere he went, he was Dr. Landles. If he was at the grocery store, it was Dr. Landles. The doctor part of his profession preceded everything else he did. He was never Mr. Landles. Nobody, our friends didn't call him Mr. Landles, you know, like it wasn't a thing that people did. The doctor was important and it preceded all the time. And not that you're always going to be called, you know, by your title beforehand, but it's the level of importance and the level of respect that I'm talking about, right?
It's the value of place on it.
It was the value. Yeah. This article, the same one I was talking about, they say, here's what they want to replace. They say replacing kids with children, replacing childcare worker with educator or early childhood teacher, replacing center, so like daycare center, to service or setting, so daycare or childcare service or childcare setting, replacing daycare with early childhood service, and industry with sector or profession instead of industry, because it's a more educated area than some. That's what it's saying. Yep. And again, that's from Australia, but I don't think we're much different.
Well, I've never heard, like, I'm not sure about, I don't think I've ever heard early childhood service.
No.
Instead of daycare.
But like, I know childcare. Some of the centers I worked at, they don't say daycare either. They say early learning and childcare.
Early learning
and childcare. And early learning and childcare or whatever, that kind of thing. So some people use that kind of phrasing, which is similar, I guess.
I still think it's important to include childcare. Because I think care is a very important part of what we do. So that's a word for me that I hope stays around. And I know a lot of programs are like, well, we do more than just care, but care is really important. I mean, Carol Garbronin, I love her book on illuminating care. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is what we do. We have this passion and care is a part. We need to value the care.
You do need, but it's like healthcare. Aides and healthcare professionals and that kind of stuff. They retain the care title in their job. You know, it's something I think that's important. I don't think we do it as much like in the social worker arena. It's child and youth care worker, I think, or child and youth care.
Yeah, I don't know, that's what I've heard, child and youth care worker.
Yeah, like I don't, you know, and then they have youth care. So then they kind of have that title in there too as part of the caring professionals.
But care is important though.
Care
is but
important. We've gone from being part of the caring professionals to being what they call human services, right? Yep. We're now a part of human services and we're part of the bigger umbrella of a human services and not just the caring portion of human services, right? So I don't know where we fit in there and what kind of titles fit with that role, but that's kind of the umbrella we're under now.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. What about centers? Have you ever heard the service or settings? I've heard programs. I use programs.
Programs. Yep. But to me, see, and I sort of have a rec background too. So when I hear programs, I think of like short-term rec-based, not all day, not full-time care, not whatever. Like when I hear programs, that's what I think. I think a program is like, oh, it's 6 weeks long and then you're done. Because that's a program. Yeah. Or you know what I mean? Like when I hear childcare program, I immediately think it's a short-term thing. Right. So, or it's like a club, like Boys and Girls Club. Or, you know what I mean? Like that word program brings up those ideas in my mind. Although I do know some people use it. I don't like the word academy when it ties to daycares. I think what this academy, that academy, this academy, I think that gives the wrong impression of what we're doing in early childhood.
It gives more of an academic focus in early childhood.
Yeah. But absolutely. It is funny to me that this conversation is happening all over. Yep. Right. It's happening all over, which, you know, we need like a UN for childcare so that we could like all get together and just like come out with stuff together and save some time, you know, like that would be awesome.
What other words have you heard in the industry? that kind of tweak you or, you know, brings to a little, sometimes a cringe almost.
Well,
crafts for me, crafts,
arts and crafts, the arts whole and crafts. arts and crafts, yeah. Kind of bothers me a little bit. And I think that the things that bother me are more so things that relate to processes that either we don't do anymore or we do, you know, we do, like we call it nap time. Some people call it rest time. Some people call it sleep time. Some people call it, you know, people have opinions, quiet time. Like people have opinions about what it is. But I think the reason we have opinions is because it's how we're telling people what we're doing.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's how we're communicating and explaining. And I mean, human beings are famous for not being able to communicate well together. And we all have different ideas of what words mean. I met a fellow from South Africa a little while ago and we were talking and his phrasing for different things and things I kept having to say, wait, what? What are you talking about? What do you mean? And I understood the words, but not his application of the word.
Yep.
Right. So I had to go in and go like, wait, I don't think I understood. Right. You know, kind of a thing. So I think all over the place, human beings are hard to communicate. But if you have a centralized language that you all use, then you all kind of adapt to it. And that becomes your narrative and it becomes easy to use because you're understanding. It's like learning the flight language.
People, I was just going to say,
when they pick up the flight book, they're like, what in the world? The students in my class are like, okay, seriously, what are we talking about here, right? When we break it down and they understand it and we start using it and they read some learning stories and they understand and they watch a video and all of a sudden that language becomes a little bit more freer and they start saying co-learner and co-researcher and co-imaginer, whereas at the beginning, they start off going, I don't have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And honestly, when so flight, for those of you not from Alberta, is our early learning and care framework here that we follow in Alberta. It is not mandatory, but it is something that is, you know, up and coming and that is being encouraged to adopt the language use because that's what it is. It's about embracing play and embracing the importance of relationships and professionalizing our language. So that we're using terms, as you said, co-learning, co-constructors of knowledge and co-inquiry process and critical reflection, dispositions to learn, yes. Holistic. I love holistic play-based goals.
Yeah.
Like using terms that when we get together, when you get to a bunch of, I call them ECEs, early childhood educators, when you get a bunch of ECEs together and we start chatting and talking, we all understand what we're talking about. And it gives us a sense of professionalism. So if someone were to come by, like my husband, who's an engineer, he were to come by, he'd be like, okay, you're using terms I don't understand. For me, that gives us a level of professionalism. Because if I'm listening to my husband talk to a bunch of engineers, I have no clue what they're saying. They're using these acronyms and these words. I have absolutely no clue, but it's very specific to their field. Just like doctors and nurses, they have specific words they use to describe things. And I think as a profession, we need to value ourselves and have this language use that does describe very holistically what we do.
But I had a thought as you were talking.
Okay, think away.
My thought is that we don't have a common vision. So when I was talking about the college and their corporate view, and when we talk about flight and its overview, it has a common vision and direction. And as a profession, we don't necessarily have a common vision. Everybody has a different idea of what they do and what other educators do and what a preschool teacher does versus what a baby room teacher does versus what, we don't necessarily have a common view of what we do on a daily basis. Yeah. So maybe that makes it harder to come up with this common language.
Well, I know in Canada, we don't have a national code of ethics. But we do have the ECEBC Code of Ethics, which has just been updated in 2021. It is a phenomenal document that I think that even the Canadian Child Care Federation is looking at, right? It's a phenomenal document that actually helps us with that and creates that level of professionalism and that overarching value and pedagogy and what we should be accounting everything we do towards, like what is our common goal? And that's, so if you haven't read that, it's the ECEBC Code of Ethics. And like I said, they just updated and it's a wonderful document to read. And I love how they brought in, this is something brand new that they brought in, is educator well-being. Right. And valuing the importance of our own well-being in addition to children, like seeing them as equally important, not one above the other, but equally important, and bringing that in. So even looking like that, I mean, childcare and social workers, they have a code of ethics here in Alberta. Yeah. So it's, I think that might be a good place to start is.
I wonder where that comes from. What? Like, does it come from Minister of Children's Services? Does it come from an agency appointed by the government? Does it come from a private group that has decided to be? Does it come from a union? Does it come from a, like, where, who is producing this unifying voice? Where is this unifying voice coming from, right? Like, I've been doing this a long time and I still don't know. I know of different associations and organizations and, you know, the Child Care Now group and whatever, that kind of stuff. But there isn't one agency that you can point to. Like, my husband is an electrician, and so he goes to the Alberta Trade Board and he knows who he's asking, right? I go to the trade board and I ask them this and I say, is this what I'm doing, right? So he knows who to ask. I think we don't know who we're talking to.
And that's because we're still not considered a profession.
Maybe.
A professional sector. I think that's where it comes from, is like my husband being an engineer, he is a part of a PEGA, like that is their professional board. And I know we have our provincial organizations like AC, we have ECEBC, every province has their own organizational board, but it's nothing that, it's not an organization that is mandatory to participate in to practice.
Yeah.
So I think that's where it comes from, is we don't have that professionalism accounted to us yet. Yeah. And I'm going to say yet, because we are fighting for it.
But who makes it? Is it like who?
I have no clue.
Some group gets together and decides they're going to be the voice of reason? Or, you know, like, I kind of, like, I don't know how, I'm not an advocate in that way. I support lots of causes, but I don't create them and I don't organize them. So I don't kind of know how that part goes. But like, I always wonder, does it just take one group to stand up and say, okay, we're doing this? We're just going to do it, right? And they just do it and everybody follows. Like, I don't quite know how that process works.
You know what? If anyone from BC is listening and you're on the, I know I have a few people I connect with in BC. Can you like contact us and let us know, like, how was that process done?
I know they
did a bunch of research in BC to make the information. So I think it was a collection of educators, of policymakers, of professors, of researchers. So I think it was a collection, just like the flight was a collection of
over time,
different individuals and different organizations who participate and contribute to the development of it. I think that's the same thing with code of ethics and professional boards.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know Ontario, they have a professional board as well.
In so my you're registered
class, ECE.
Yeah. In my ethics class, we had to study the Ontario Code of Ethics for early childhood because we didn't have one. So we spent, you know, a couple of weeks going through that document, the Code of Ethics and that kind of a thing. And I looked for an Alberta one, but I couldn't find it. She said, no, you're not going to find one. Right.
When I went to school a long time ago, we used the Youth and Child Care Worker Code of Ethics.
Yeah.
And then I looked up and I found the Ontario one as well as the BC one. And I think Manitoba, they have one as well. I think Shirley was telling us Manitoba had one.
Yeah, I believe they do. Manitoba's got some good stuff happening for them.
Mm-hmm.
Got some good things going on there.
Yeah. But I think that's where it comes, like having a code of ethics, like what is our language use? And that would define that. So that's something. Maybe AC can look into that. I know EC has a bunch of documents, but I've never seen a code of ethics in there.
No, and I'm just looking at this document that I have from Australia to see if they refer to national quality framework. So it says it provides a national approach to regulation, assessment, and quality improvement in ECE services.
Is that their Te Wariki? Oh, no, that's New Zealand has Te Wariki.
Well, and it goes down here and they do say they have a code of ethics and they have, you know, the rights of the child and different safety principles and health principles and whatever, all that kind of stuff. So they have this organization that they're running on, but it is a national one for them.
Yeah, the NQS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
NQF. Yeah.
I know the England has it as well.
Nationally?
It's this what is it? I forget what it's called now. I have to remember here. I don't know if it's national. I wonder if it's national. See, these are the things Canada we learn.
Has any national child care, early education? I don't think we have a national.
They have a national child care strategy. Oh, this is from 1997.
Oh.
Wow. Oh, no, they do. Child care in the UK. Wow. See, this things we learn, right?
Well, and maybe we should spend more time learning about that, right? Like,
yeah, seeing what other places are doing. What about Sweden? What are they doing? Because they
got good stuff too.
Yeah, they have good stuff too.
And this is the stuff. I'm guessing, I don't actually have facts for this, but I'm guessing they have a national process.
Yeah, I would guess that too. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it in our community, because in our conversation chats, professional language in our community of practice, Robin, let's bring that up. Let's discuss that at the next time, is looking at other countries to like understand why we don't have some things here in Alberta, and how can we create that, and where is it created from?
Yeah.
And this is also another thing I hear though a lot, is language use, since we're talking about language use, and they're like, oh yeah, but that's from Australia. Oh yeah, but that's from the States. Or, oh yeah, that's from England. But does that really matter? Like, why do we have to customize things specifically for Canada or Alberta? Yes, we have our own demograph, we have our own community values, but if it's in other places, why don't we value that as well?
Well, we should value that, right? Like, it's as simple as, I know early childhood educators who do not want to be referred to as a teacher. Mm-hmm. Don't call me teacher. I'm not a teacher. I don't work at a school. I'm not a teacher. Other people call themselves daycare teachers, right? You're a daycare teacher, right? Like, we use that teacher umbrella, and either you like it or you don't, but you're using it because it's familiar and it's common, and it's through all countries. Everybody, as far as I know, has a word for teacher, and they know what a teacher is.
A form of respect and value. If you're a teacher, you're valued and respected.
Yeah.
Well, you should be.
Well, it says near childcare is a generic term used to describe the ECE sector and doesn't reflect the importance of education and development for young children.
Yeah.
So that's their premise behind their language document. I think it's important to have common language. I mean, again, we said it before, but I think Flight is doing a good job of promoting that. And they use the word educator, and they use the word early childhood educator, and, you know, those kind of language, which is just as impactful as using the word co-learner, or co-researcher, right? Like the fact that the whole document is created that way, and that's what we're all being asked to consider and learn and discover. I think that will go a long way too in creating that language. And they do refer to them as children. I don't think the word kids pops up once in that document.
No.
You know, like they still are using the word children. And I think we have to maybe just pause and consider, why do I say what I say? And how do other people perceive what I say? Maybe to me, kids has a fun and bouncy, you know, attitude, and I love it. But how do other people perceive the word kids? Oh, the kids and I were playing. I took the kids to the park. You know, how do other people perceive this when we're talking in a professional manner? Mm-hmm. Right. So maybe we need to step out of the box a little bit and look back and say, how are other people perceiving the language that we're using? And why are we choosing to use the words we use? Maybe that's kind of the first step. You know, you can't just throw out there, okay, everybody has to say this or can't say this, or, you know, but maybe the first step is to stop and think about how it is perceived by other professions, by other people, by the community, you know, by the government even. How is that perceived? And then that's a starting point.
Yeah. Value what we do, and that will have that trickle down effect and from, you know, into our families, into our communities, into policymaking. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Robin, for joining me for this conversation. I think it was you know, a step towards our professionalism of our sector and really understanding the value behind what we do. So thanks everyone for joining us here today and listening in as Robin and I chat and explore and discover on our own. If you want any more information, follow me and like me on my Facebook page, Inspired Minds ECC. Until next time, everyone, have yourself a fabulous day. We'll see you later. Bye.